I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello guys, welcome to another episode of the Tana Talk Soccer Podcast. I am Lotana Oruchi, and I'm here with a very special guest today, trying to gas him up. Wisdom, how are you doing today?
You have to gas me up for, because it's been a while.
It's been a
I'm doing really good. Yeah, it has. I'm fine. I'm doing well. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm alright. There's a lot of stuff going on, so I haven't been as consistent, but I'm trying to make it back to where I used to be. And I feel like right now is the best time to come back into it. Manchester United is an interesting one, and I asked you to come on because I kind of respect your views on your club. It's not too biased or anything. It's kind of just like calm. The last time you were here, I think we talked a lot about Jadon Sancho. Manchester United had just purchased this fantastic young player. Yeah, exactly, from Dortmund. Yeah. And it seemed like, to be fair, on paper, it's a good deal. You know, he played fantastically for Dortmund. Let's not rewrite history. And with the way the transfer market is going now, it's still a big money sign. You know, he sells for over 70 million. It's still big money
going
to today's market. But with the way the transfer market is going now, if you look at getting someone who had put in Sancho's performances for that money in relation to today, it's not bad at all. But unfortunately, it hasn't quite gone according to plan. Before we go into the latest, which is the comments from the manager, the comments from the player, and the way forward, what have you made of Jadon Sancho's time at Manchester United? If I say he's been a crazy, it's been a massive flop, would you just agree, or you would try to maybe add some context?
Yeah, I think that would be good. Definitely some context. I think what I would say is relative to the expectations that we had.
Okay.
When we signed him, when we spent all of that money on him, then yes, definitely it has been a flop. Reasons as well, but you know, various other non-footballing reasons, availability, you know, different issues that have just plagued his. It's been a lot of factors, but definitely on the footballing side, relative to, you know, what we're expecting from such a huge talent when we brought him in from Dortmund, then yes, it has been a disappointment.
Is it all on him?
It's difficult. I think players who move to new clubs flop, right, or succeed for different reasons, right? There's a lot of factors that go into player performances, right? New environment, new club, new systems, new tactics, right? And even also your mentality, right, as a player, as a professional, right? Right, so whether it's a step forward or step backwards in your career as well. I know we talked about this as well, right?
Yeah, we
last
did.
Last time I was here.
Yeah.
You know, I was willing to give him time, right? It was 21 or so when we got him. You know, it was a deal where was a deal I was expecting to be a massive success in the long run. Yeah. I remember, I think that was exactly what I said. But like, I was willing to give him time because at that time, we were just finding our feet as a club. First full season after we meeting Bruno Fernandes. So it felt like, okay, the club was taking a new turn on that way. He felt like the perfect, or a perfect addition, a perfect piece that would just slot into, you know, that side and take some of the creativity burden off of Bruno, because that was one thing that we really needed at the time. We needed someone who could take the creativity burden. And I mean, there was no other perfect person. No other perfect than Sancho, because the numbers speak for
himself. Yeah, he was a machine. He was like a machine. You know, not too long ago, I saw a discussion on Twitter saying like Saka, Rashford, and Sancho, based on their, this is a funny question because they are all relatively young still, but based on their picks so far, who are you gonna take? And Sancho came last for everybody. I'm like, people have actually forgotten.
It
always happens that way, but I'm like, people have actually forgotten that season now. Sancho put up some of the best numbers in Europe consistently. He was that guy.
Not just in Dortmund, I think that's the part that people forget. People bring up the Bundesliga for the strikes, but it wasn't just in the Bundesliga. Across the board, it was very sure that people like Messi, right, with crazy numbers. And
exactly.
It's just when you sign a talent like that, you said, I don't think it's all down to him. I think maybe mostly down to him as well, but there were a lot of problems, right, surrounding the club. It was the season that only got sacked, right?
Yeah.
The season started out very brightly. We felt like, okay, this was going to be a really good season. We had just finished second, right? And we added players like Rafael Varane, players like Ronaldo came back, right? And we also added Sancho. So it seemed that finished second. Expectations were high. It was like, okay, expected to have this challenge properly. And the season started well. They had those really exciting wins at the start of the season against Leeds. Yeah. And then Ronaldo came against Newcastle. And you know, it just felt like nothing could go wrong. And then it felt like maybe the universe took on a challenge or something. And then things just started going wrong. Lots of issues with Ole's time. But I think a lot of United fans would probably just want to erase from their memory,
yeah,
by the way. And then having to think of like safety, right? We had ourselves justifying bad league selecting people who just get us results. Right, people, it still did not go well. We still had a lot of embarrassing losses, and we finished the season very terribly. So, I think a lot of United fans, and I as well, whenever I want to like say rate our performances or rate our players, I don't like to use that feeling at the point that everybody was bad at close forward. So I don't like feeling out yet. I mean, it's something like, so what happened with Liverpool last season, right, or what happened with Chelsea also last season. You know that those players are better than that. That was not their real cause.
Yeah, it was just not
like
good
terrible spell. Yeah, everybody was bad across board. So it's difficult to single someone out and say, okay, this person, you know, was the reason, or this person was terribly bad, or this person is just a bad player.
Yeah.
So that was Sancho. And then, okay, next season, now we brought on Erik ten Hag, which was last season. And with ten Hag, it was also again another new beginning, right? Era, manager, exciting ideas, has built exciting teams, right? One of the most exciting young teams in Europe as well at the time. So,
yeah, right? Sancho aside, though, how do you think Ten Hag has performed as the Manchester United manager? If you were to use one word, what would be the word, perfect word you want to describe his performance so far?
That's difficult to one word. Yeah, I'll just say he has done well, but obviously there's a lot of context and, you know, no one's to that discussion as well. But I think all things considered, his first season was a success. I think it really was because this is a club that, you know, not a day passes where you don't get drama.
Till now.
Still, right?
Yeah.
Up until now. Right from when he stepped in with Ronaldo, there was a thing where before he stepped in, people were saying, oh, you know, it would be Ronaldo, it would be here immediately because these people don't fit his style. And then he came in, right? He says he wants to work with Ronaldo. But that just didn't happen because, you know, of a couple of factors that we all know about, right? And then he ends up having to let Ronaldo go, right? So, like, it's been a lot of drama. And I think one of my favorite things about his time here so far is I feel like he has handled every of this drama, every of these, you know, issues that have come. But I think he's handled it really well.
Really?
It has, I think that's something that, yeah.
Did you see any issues with what he said about Sancho in the press conference?
Sancho, okay, so now that might be the only half thing that I think maybe could have done better.
But again, half. Okay.
Let's look at this. First of all, we still don't know the truth about his comments, right? Because he said one thing and Sancho said something else, right? So, and it's still pretty fresh, so we've not like seen the resolution, or, you know, we don't know the aftermath of that yet, so we can't really show who is right or who is saying the truth.
Yeah.
What I think he could have done better was perhaps not question his professionalism, right, like in the public like that. I understand it, but I think he's just someone. The way I see it, I feel like he has maybe like half and he feels like, okay, the last resort or what he wants to do now is just to call him out publicly and see how he reacts. I don't know how that sounds, but that's the only explanation.
It's tricky, though.
That's the explanation that I can.
It's really tricky because, as you said, no one knows for facts because we're not behind the scenes. It's better for your manager to even say, oh, you're crap, like, you're not good enough. I feel like most professional players would take that better than hearing the manager say, because it opens room to a lot of criticism for them. And it's like, he's already been under a lot of fire, you know, from people saying all sorts, you know, from his laziness, whatever. And once a manager, someone like now does that, it just really opens you up to so much criticism, so much analysis, because you know how people talk on social media, right? There's people who say so many things that they don't know. For example, I'll give you an example. Let's say Manchester United signed, Eriksen. There's people saying, oh, Eriksen wasn't a Ten Hag signing, it was this staff that sanctioned. Like, bro, you don't know. And people actually now create opinions, and this is how people talk on Twitter, you know what I'm saying? Or even my club, Liverpool, oh, this is not a club sign, this is a Pep Lenders signing, this is a this, that, you get what I'm saying? This one, for sure.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, this guy is this person that wanted him, not this one. So I'm like, what? Are you there?
Yeah.
You know, all you know is the club and the player, you know what I'm saying? So we live in a world where a lot of the media just actually fabricate stories, then react to those stories, fabricate scenarios, then react to those scenarios. And Sancho has already been under that. So what Ten Hag did was actually just really open it up. Because for me personally, right, even like, for example, on my show, if I ever have the chance to talk to a player, I actually really want to stick to on the pitch things. And that's, if I have a Sancho with me in the studio, I'm going to be asking him questions like, so why isn't it coming up for you on the pitch, right? Like, I always want to leave all those stories and agendas on, like, you know, yourself, drop or more play kind of mentality, get me? Like, this football, like, we all play football, like, so why isn't it coming up for you exactly, you know? And the fact that Ten Hag has done that, it doesn't give room to people talking a lot about on the pitch things, like analytics, you know, what he's not doing properly.
I get it. And so, I feel like, you know, people have said about him, he's been very open, right? He doesn't, I mean, maybe it's the Dutch thing, right? People say Dutch people are always very...
Yeah,
that's all. Well. So, he always tell you how it is. If it's something he doesn't want to talk about, then he would simply not answer. So, I think... it was a very intentional thing for me. It's not a thing where
he slipped out.
It was a very intentional thing. So the only thing now that we can say is, what was the intention behind those comments, right? And I feel like in his own head, he's maybe he's at a point where he really doesn't feel like he can rely on Sancho and it's just like, okay, whatever happens, I'm no longer protecting you.
So it's kind of like a fight now. Is that it? Because are you trying to say that? Of course, like, this is not the first, like, both of them know. And for even Sancho, you sound like, I'm tired of being scapegoated, you know?
I don't feel that way. I don't get that impression that he's being made as a scapegoat, especially by the club or by the manager. Maybe that part was more for the
It could be a combination of a loss. So I feel like sometimes, like, of course, Sancho didn't clear this statement on his PR team or whatever. It was just a very impulsive team. Young guy just talking from his feelings right away. And my opinion, of course, I might not be right, but I feel it's a mixture of a lot of things. Of course, the press have been on him, the fans have been on him, everyone has been on him. But also, I also think inside, because I feel if you feel a very supportive environment from your club and your coach, or if you guys are on certain kind of terms, because let's say Sancho doesn't even play as much as he feels he deserves to, that's one thing, right? But there's players who go through that all through clubs. Like, this is not a new thing where players don't. And the reaction or what you say kind of differs. So if a player is not playing but he feels that he doesn't feel very uncomfortable in his environment, he doesn't feel like the people he work for are against him, he's not going to come out and say that. Does that make sense? Because it's like, if the media is almost like, oh, people can be talking about it, but if you're loved at home, you're not bothered. You know what I'm saying? It's not the first time I see a lot of, it happens a lot, you know, there's media talking about so many players, this, that, but the coach right there is in love with that player and will always keep playing the player and loves him to, you get what I'm saying, loves him to death. This is a common thing that's happened 1,000 times in football, you know what I'm saying? Even if he doesn't play, but the coach is like, you get, so inside, they are inside and we don't know what's happening inside, but what Sancho has shown is that there's actually something happening inside this time, you know, because when we speculate from the outside, when we try to cause a lot of wrong stories, agendas, blah, 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 we don't know. And when players don't react, a lot of times, because like, they are inside, they know that there's that oneness, there's that agreement. Like,
I think that's why everyone is shocked, Steve, because, like, you know, when there's friction between players or management and players, like, you see times where, like, you see some things that would imply that, right? But with Sancho, he's just come out of nowhere. Like, first of all, nobody was expecting him to not make the squad that day. Like, it wasn't a thing where he had been getting left out of the squad or not getting played, right? So everyone was like, okay, maybe he's ill, maybe he picked up another injury, right? We don't know what happened, right? And then Eric Ten Hag comes out to make those comments again, which were shocking because, you know, it's not something that has been happening. Ten Hag possibly supported him more than I've seen any manager supports, you know, a new money signing like that.
Yeah.
Right. We had the break. We still don't know the full details. That was nothing. We still don't know what exactly the break was for or what exactly Sancho was going through that he needed that break. We don't have the full details. People are speculating, obviously, mental health issues, he lost a close friend or something, he affected him, but we don't know. Right. All we know is the manager sanctioned a break for him to get his head right. And even possibly sent him to Netherlands, right, which is the home country of, you know, the coach. Yeah. Again, that shows some level of support. Like, okay, go to my home country, I have people that will take care of me there, right? So, it felt like things were great. Mind you, this was the time when we had, like, injury crisis. We had a shortage in the front line at that point. And, you know, he still kept supporting him, saying he's not putting a timeline on when he would be back. He doesn't know. So, like, They did his bit towards the end of the season. There were a couple of times where Sancho would get subbed out. He would share like a hug with Ten Hag, right? Smile on his face, like everything was good. The season as well, this season, he played a lot of games. Got used as the false nine in the absence of Martial and Rashford, who joined the season late as an international, right? So everything seemed good, right? So I think that's why it's kind of shocking for everyone. We don't know where this has come from. Did whatever happened between them happen in just a week? Like, was it just that week leading up to training, the game against Arsenal, that whatever happened, right? Like, I think that's just the question everyone's face right now, and we're just waiting to see how
it plays
that
out.
Their resolve, especially with the Anthony situation now, which might be the perfect opportunity to, to bring him back into the team.
I mean, Anthony, now the club just released a statement, right? So he'll be out for for a while now until
foreseeable future.
Yeah, until it's resolved. And that's a big chance for Sancho, you know, ordinarily. But is there any way that, because to me it just seems like there's obviously, so is, I don't think it was just like a manager coming out on TV saying some things that the player didn't like, then the player just reacted on social media. I don't think it was that. Like, his words just, it's almost like you've been giving me stick, like, inside. Like, inside, it's not so been pleasant, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like I've been this guy, and yeah, now you're now bringing it to TV. So, like, I'm tired of this shit kind of vibe, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of, that's kind of what it gave me.
I mean, like, ordinarily, right? Ordinarily, what Sancho did for a lot of people, that would basically mean the end of their careers at the club. But yeah, like, that could be the end. But I feel like it's also something that could be resolved, right? If they both just put their egos aside and actually have a discussion. And I don't know what demands Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Obviously, he says he demands a lot from everyone, and he didn't feel like Sancho was meeting those demands. So I don't know what exactly are those demands that he. But if with this Anthony situation now, you know, it could be just the perfect opportunity for him to say, okay, now, well, let's see if you'll be able to take this chance and give me something different. So we are waiting to see, because we can't afford any more distractions, we're losing anymore.
Yeah.
We need everyone. I really, really hope they are able to find a resolution.
It's a bit interesting to see how this goes. You know, also one more thing, then we talk about something else. So two more things basically before this is over. So over the summer, basically Manchester United, of course, David De Gea left. Now Onana has replaced him. David De Gea is still without a club and all. Harry Maguire was also another name on the papers, you know. And of course, the club where, you know, he basically doesn't have a place in the starting lineup anymore, or even like, he's no more a main player. And he was also stripped off his captaincy. Now, let's be honest, what do you make of that? The stripped off the captaincy.
I think it was a clear message from Ten Hag that, you know, try to find a way out of this thing, right?
So basically forcing him out.
Because in the public, right, he mentioned that he would love to have Maguire in the squad, right? That he would have to fight for his place in the squad because we have, you know the way managers play politics.
Yeah.
Now. So he kept saying that in the public, right? But then on the back end, stripping him of the captain's band, a lot of people tried to, I think that was the argument that I made as well. The fact that managers like to have their captains, right, as regulars of the team, like people who actually are on the pitch a lot and not people who are on the bench, right, or people who are not made regular mainstays in the team, right? So that was one angle to look at it from, right? And the fact that Bruno basically almost captained the team for a lot of last season, right, just because of the fact that again, Maguire was not very much regular player. So I think in a way it was a message, right, saying just you want to be in this team, but we are open to letting you go. If you want to stay, then you're going to have to accept reduced responsibility. We'll give the captain to someone else, right, and then just know that you're not part of the first 11, right? I think that was the
that's fine. There's so many, as you said, like just like how Man United did the last season, like there's so many captains around the world that are not starters, you know. It's not even only in football, even in basketball, you know. A lot of the time, the vets who can't, of course, even play very often again because of their, what's it called, their physical levels. That happens. I feel like Bruno would be leading Manchester United out of the tunnel anyway, almost every game week.
Regardless.
So it was like, if from Harry Maguire's perspective, it was a big slap in his face. Was it really necessary?
Well,
it was a message. Ten Hag certainly was trying to send a message. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so
I think there are not wrong that you can look at it. First of all, like, is he going to pick his own captain? Maguire's his own captain. There are lots of issues. And I feel like that first season, it was trying to not shake things up too much, right? Trying to not make too many changes, right? First of all, the air thing is also part of it, because a lot of people, again, expected him to just be straight up, right? Being a lot of players straight up. But I feel like it was more of something like, okay, let's do this slowly. This is the first season. You know, we don't have to make all of these grand changes, right? Trying to ease them into it. And now second season, I feel like it's more of the time where it feels like, okay, I have to now start making my own imprint in this team. Like there was an old captain here that I met, but do I still want him? Like, perfect time for him to now start making his own decisions, making his own imprint in the team. So,
do you agree with that
lots
decision?
Lots of angles.
Stripping Maguire of the captaincy. I don't think it was necessary.
I've heard a lot of people say that as well. I don't think it was necessary as well, but I'm nothing against it as well, because I don't think it's.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but I feel it's little by little. We've even seen Jose Mourinho lose the dressing room and the club where the players were ready to die for him. You know, he had his vets still, his Lampards, his Terrys, these guys were there, and he still managed to lose the dressing room. I feel losing. I'm not trying to speculate or anything, but I just don't at the moment. I just don't really respect. I feel he can be a good manager or a good coach. You know what I'm saying? Like he's. In terms of his football, and so for Manchester United, got into the Champions League, they won a trophy, you know. Even though it's let me not get salty, but it's still a trophy. Not really, like you could maybe ask for more from the first season. That's 100% fine, but it wasn't a bad season. You know what I'm saying? It's not a terrible season. You get me. You could talk about also the way Manchester United's performances have been, because there's a lot of times.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
They're not playing well enough, but they've been able to get results. And there were also times last season where they actually looked like a well-oiled machine. Yeah. You know, yeah, exactly. So you've seen a bit of everything here and there, but overall the results got Manchester United back where they wanted to be, the Champions League, and they were desperate for a trophy. You know, it's been a while, and they also got their hands on that, even though it is a trophy that doesn't really matter, if we're being honest here. But anyway, yeah, but yeah, I just had to say that anyway. But it's like the way managers lose players is because these players are friends. That's the thing, they're just not like pieces, they're not chess pieces that are just like objects that are not connected. They are individuals who are friends and who have relationships. And I'm just thinking in my head that if you upset a good amount or a few amount of people, then things start to feel awkward. Things start to feel somehow, you know. No matter, irrespective of what Maguire comes out to say, he's not best pleased. You know, Jadon is not best. Of course, Cristiano has gone. I'm just thinking that it's just been a year and it's already been like 4 players or what, you get what I'm saying? And I'm just thinking, of course at the moment nothing is going to happen now, but I feel these things happen over time. No, do you get my angle where I'm coming from? Like, if, because I feel to be a good manager and to be able to manage a lot of, it's different from Ajax. Like, if you're coming from Ajax, I feel if you're an Ajax manager, what you need is just be good at football in terms of on the pitch stuff, what you're training, how you train to to execute your plans. Just like pure football and tactics, because these are young players who are looking for opportunities. They have no right to have an ego. Because they are nobodies, you know what I'm saying? So you're giving them opportunities and you're implementing. So but when you come into a big club, it's absolutely different. You know, you're meeting, for example, a Cristiano Ronaldo, right? Let's just give a very basic example. Players can sit on the bench. Like, I've played football to a good level where when I first went to the club, I had to sit on the bench. I wasn't used to that. I didn't like that. But I saw what the midfielders were like the parts of their games, and I saw things that they had that I didn't have. Of course, I had things that they didn't have. Like I was more box to box. I could always score more goals. Always like directly chip into the. You get what I'm saying? Just say have more impact, kind of. But in terms of control, like so, it's almost like I feel no matter what a player feels, there's always that reality in your head and maybe that humility to say that okay, this player does that. But what it gets hard for players to accept is if they don't understand a decision. You know, so for example, Cristiano Ronaldo, I don't know, he missed precision for whatever, blah blah blah. Not to even get into a true side, but he's back now, he's not really playing too much. And for whatever reason, how does he accept this? If he's on the bench and it's like Haaland and Osimhen, I feel like, or just people that perform to that level, you get me, it would be fine. But maybe watching an Elanga or this guy's not really doing anything. It's going to, no matter who is going, you cannot take it. Like it's something like you don't understand, more understandable if you feel the coach is getting it right, like okay, cool. But if not, you feel insulted, you know. And it's the same thing that happens to anyone else there. Like if the coach is making decisions that you're not really accepting, then it's only a matter of time where I think he would have pissed off enough people at the club. So do you think Ten Hag has to improve in a way with dealing with egos and things like that? Because it's not like I think he's a bit too robotic, you know. He's a bit too robotic. Maybe lacks that bit of, I will not say charisma is not the word, but just knowing how to associate and deal with certain kind of characters, you know. Like we've seen even in the Pep team, for example, we've seen so many players over the years misbehave. Like Aguero, from Aguero, all these guys, they've done the worst, absolutely. But there's always been a way to turn it around without it being terrible. There's been problems, you know. Even
all that matters is winning, and when you win, people don't remember all of the things. Even the players don't remember all of the things, but everyone is happy with the direction of the club. There is positive media and press around the club as well, from the fans will back your every decision. Nobody second guess, and I think that's really how someone like Pep, now that you just mentioned, as an example, that's where is that great for him in terms of these things, right? I mean, that's even the only thing we can say. Nobody even remembers that now. Cancelo is away from the club, right?
Yeah.
But they're winning. Doubt you, they win, right? So it's justified.
Manager
was right. So,
but the difference.
Exactly. So I feel like.
The difference for me, yeah, is like, yeah, they are winning, but I feel it's a vicious cycle. So what I'm saying is, I'm just looking at this guy's been here for, what, a year? Just about a year, right? Just slightly above.
Yeah.
And this one, that one, so it's like the number, the concentration. I feel like, of course, like you can pick one player here, one player there. Oh, like for example, Klopp had a problem with Sako back in 2016, blah blah blah, beating him. You can pick from, you get what I'm saying, like everyone had, but it's about just like in a concentrated period, we've seen this, we've seen that, we've seen that.
Well,
then that's why I'm asking questions, you know. And I feel like if it happens,
come on, I feel like we are making like these things are not full-blown issues, right? You have not been performing up to the level that you were initially, or up to the level that is expected of you, right? I don't think that's a problem, first of all. Stripping you of the captaincy, yes. I think that's where the issue is. So, like, there's no problem with Maguire
not playing. Maguire
in terms
of, I know that. But
so, that's not.
I don't see a situation where Maguire doesn't see him getting stripped. Because Maguire has always been like, okay, you know what? He's been very professional in court in terms of he's not said anything publicly disrespectful to anybody. So it's like, I know, he's always had this kind of, I'm going to fight for the club, you know, fight for, that's how his tone has been awful. Still,
fight for his play.
Yeah, you know, simple, cool, right? But I'm saying I don't see a scenario where Maguire doesn't see this guy stripping him of captaincy as a bit like.
I feel like these issues, right? Like let's be honest, you always have to make decisions. And not all your players are going to like all of the decisions you make, right? Because it's going to favor some, it's going to, the other side as well. Some players will be on the other side of it, right? So now it matters, how do you resolve this when this happens? How do you communicate with people affected by your decisions to make them still feel like, okay, they are still a part of what you are building, right? And not feel like, okay, you're trying to discard them. Right, so I think that's what really matters, and I would like to think that a conversation must have happened between them before he made that decision, right? Because I even remember when that happened, which means that they must have given him the chance to say, he must have told them, okay, at least give me the courtesy of announcing it in my own way.
Yeah, I mean, them telling him is not. I mean, I feel like he doesn't have much of a say anyway in terms of the decision. Yes, of course, the manager will communicate it with him. But
announcing it first, it before the club, I feel like that must have been something that they discussed. And they were like, okay, you get fired, right? Movies where maybe something bad happens to someone and then they tell people, give me the chance to, you know, to be the first to say it, right? Let's not do that first, right? So I think, so I think that must have happened. And I feel like they must have discussed it. He possibly must have communicated his displeasure, all of these things you are saying that he must be feeling with Ten Hag. And I mean, I would like to think that Ten Hag must have explained his decision and just sorted that out.
Yeah,
I mean that's an expectation.
Ten Hag, of course, did that. Like, of course, he had his reasons. Like, he's not just, he's just not going to wake up and like, I don't like that guy's face, I'm going to remove him from captaincy, and I'm going to try to send him to West Ham or something. Like, he had his reasons, you know what I'm saying? Like, that felt okay. But I'm just saying, like, you know, irrespective of what your reasons are, the way someone is, like, if you tell me you're going to do something to me, even though you have your reasons, doesn't mean that I'm going to respect it. Doesn't mean I'm going to like it. That's the point. Anyway, moving on from that, finally, what have you made of Manchester United's start to the season?
Not great at all. Not great. This is your second season, and it still feels like a team, you know, trying to see figure out how to take the big step.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like, first of all, there might have been a disconnect in fans' expectation of what kind of football Ten Hag was meant to bring to United, and what kind of football he thinks suits the squad he has perfectly, right? Because it's been asked a lot of times, right? What kind of football do you want to play? What do you want to play? And he keeps saying is that he wants to play entertaining football for the fans, right? Transitions, he keeps hammering transitions. He wants to be the best team at transitions. He wants to be able to win the ball from the front and, you know, cause damage. And all of that, and even when he analyzes the players that he signed, he always seems to have, you know, an idea in his head. But I think that idea is just different from what us fans expected from him, especially from his time at Ajax, right? I think everybody was expecting some sort of Pep style
something
of football, but that
hasn't
happened. It doesn't feel like that's the idea he also has for the team. Like, it also feels like he thinks the abilities or the qualities of the players are better suited to play this chaotic transition. Now, us fans watch this team and we're not happy with what they're playing. Mm-hmm. But it feels like it's closer to the idea of what he actually wants to see from the team. But still, the start has not been good at all. When you think about how we came from last season, expect that, you know, there will be a lot of improvement, but we're still having the same issues. We're still having midfield not being compact a lot, not because of his issues, but because of the general team structure.
Yeah.
But like, it's just annoying.
What do you think about your new signings so far this season?
I think we had an 8 out of 10 transfer window, or say 7.5 out of 10. Going into this summer, the positions I wanted, I felt like we needed to strengthen, right, were the midfield. That was my biggest issue, because that was one of the biggest issues we had last season as well. To be fair, it might be a bit difficult, right, but at the minimum, getting the cover, a more than good enough cover, such that when you take him out of the team, you don't suffer, you don't miss a bit. So I felt we needed someone like that, and also an upgrade on Eriksen. So ideally, I felt we needed two midfield signings minimum. Then the rest, maybe depending on how school is, maybe we lost, you know, Fred and McTominay, then naturally you need an additional body there. Maybe bring one from the academy, right, until you can get someone there, fine. But yeah, two midfielders, and yes, we also needed to change the goalkeeper. That was really as important. And then I thought we needed a striker. Right, we suffered in that department for a bit. Martial's inconsistencies and injury issues. More recently, we had Gregos last season. But we needed a long-term fix in that position as well. And also more firepower, because it felt like last season, our attack was basically Rashford and others. Rashford and Inshallah, that was what it was last season. It was carrying the entire attack. And we had finishing issues, but we missed a lot of chances. So yeah, he needed to finish the attack as well with the striker.
So
perhaps
positionally,
at the very best
case, yeah,
best case scenario, I felt we could also have a centre back because of Varane's injury issues and the fact that Maguire was obviously no longer in favour, mm-hmm, right? But that was more of like an icing on the cake. If there's a chance, the centre back would be nice.
But positionally,
and I feel like we stopped.
You've gotten good players. Yeah. You've gotten like good positions in terms of what you've analysed right now, in terms of what you guys needed. But what about the players themselves, like Amrabat, Mount?
Profiles was the positions that I listed at first, which is either the cover for Casemiro or an upgrade on Eriksen. You know, could also play beside Casemiro as an 8 kind of player. Think about Mount, his best fit, you probably first want to stick him at 10, right? Just, you know, behind the striker, in front of midfielders, that would be your first thing that comes to your head. Right, so seeing him signed as a first midfield signing and at such a fee, I honestly thought that would probably be the only midfield signing we brought in. Because, I mean, that's the way Man United operates. We've seen it. I can almost predict their transfer activity, you know, even before the season, because you know the way the Blazers act. So once they splashed that money on him, I almost felt like, okay, that's probably the only midfield signing we're getting. And then any other thing would depend on if we're able to move other players on. So I was not very pleased with that signing at first, but after the end of Amrabat, now I feel a bit more comfortable with that signing now.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm actually cover those two profiles that I mentioned earlier. Yeah, it can be a really good cover for Casemiro, and as well, he can play beside Casemiro as a gift. He has the qualities to do both. So I feel like in him, we sort of got someone who could solve those two issues, such that now we don't need Mount to do that. So now Mount can focus on, you know, maybe being back up to Bruno, which is, I must admit, unrealistic if you consider the transfer price that he was brought in for. Right. So, I mean, it feels like a price that manager would most likely want to count on him as a starter more often than not. So the initial dynamic is still one that we would have to watch out for to see how exactly, you know, Ten Hag feels it when everyone is fit.
Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, I think striker position unlearned. Obviously, the dream signing for that position was Kane, even though I knew it was very unrealistic, you know, having to deal with Levy for that. But away from Kane, I think unlearned is a very promising signing. Yes, that's the word I'll use. Yeah. I think it's a very promising.
Something is in there.
I think he has all the tools to be what we've been crying out for in the striker position, right? So
yeah.
I'm happy with the signing as well. So yeah, I'm happy with our summer business all around. It's left for Ten Hag now. I think we have all the tools.
Yeah.
That
so
we need.
This right, brings me down to the last thing.
Maybe think,
You said you have all the tools, right? So, what is it now? What does Ten Hag have to do now? Hello?
Expectations for this season?
Yeah. Like, what does he have to do now?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yes. What does he have to do now in your
opinion? He has to challenge properly. And when I say challenge properly, I mean not like being 10 points away from the first position at the end of the season, right? Like, he has to be in there. Yes, he has to be in the race. This Man City team is a monstrous team to compete with, which means anybody that wants to win the league, right, must be around, you have to be aiming for 90 plus points, right, around the 95 points range.
I would know a thing or two about
that. Exactly. Right. So, I feel like if we are pegging Man City to be like a 90 plus point team, challenging properly now would be, can't be anything lower than an 80 plus points based in this year, right? So it has to be 80 points and above to challenge Man City, and I think that's what I'm expecting of from Ten Hag this season. I don't want to see anything less than that. That's really the expectation. I don't care if he wins. I think that'll be really tough. That'll be a really huge one, and a task of him as well. But yeah, he has to challenge. I think he has enough resources at his disposal. I think in the Champions League as well, obviously he has to get out of the group, minimum, right? Yeah. So, I mean, from there, it's now dependent on your drills, right? Yeah. So I can't really say much for that right now, but minimum has to get out of the group stages.
And being attached. You know,
also not a member.
Yeah,
and entitled. A trophy is welcome. Carabao FA Cup, we'll take that. But yeah,
Are you fine with none as well? If let's say are you fine with none? Okay, let's say I don't know the Champions League.
Like, I can challenge this properly for the league. I think I would be more comfortable.
That'll give you optimism going to next season. You'll be like, okay, next season maybe we can win it.
Yes, because of the
consistency sort of our 38 games. All right, finally, I want you to drop your top four predictions, starting from two, of course, because Liverpool is one.
I hate it so much that whenever decisions come up, Man City, I just like always automatically the first.
Yeah, same.
It's so annoying. I would say City top again.
Mm-hmm.
I would say second place. So this is based on the start so far.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Arsenal. I think they are in a good place and it's looking good for them right now.
Okay.
So I think United might be third again. I'm predicting us to be third again, but a lot closer this time in terms of like the points, difference. And I would say Liverpool for fourth.
Do you think that so you said what you would like? Do you think that United, because this is your prediction, do you think they'll finish third but also be in that title race or no? Like, what do you think will happen aside from your wants or your demand from your manager? What do you think will happen? Do you think
If I want to be in our transfer business and do so, I think we will. Also, football is funny. My life is funny as well. So a lot of things happen. But yeah, I'll definitely be disappointed. I think it would be all on Ten Hag if we don't do that. Because I think the squad is strong enough to do that this season. So if we don't, then Ten Hag has to definitely take responsibility for that.
If for example, let's say United narrowly just make the Champions League. So it's not basically a very good season, but they still get into the Champions League, so it's not the worst. At the end of the season, don't challenge for anything really. Will you be Ten Hag out, or you will just be like not impressed but continue?
That's difficult. That's a tough one. Yes, depending on the dynamics of what actually happens in the season, there's always context that's needed, right? So I think I might not be comfortable with it, because I mean that would be your second full season, and then still having the same issues that you were having like 2 years ago, then that doesn't feel like progress very much to me.
Alright, thanks a lot for coming on and giving a lot of insights. It's a really interesting episode. Well, I just hope my United finish out of the top four. They've had a very perfect start to the season, in my opinion. This season couldn't have started better for Manchester United. And yeah, thanks a lot once again. Have a lovely day.
Yeah, you too.
Yes, so that was it. Wisdom gave us a fantastic insight into what he thinks about the Sanchez situation, Erik Ten Hag, Manchester United, their transfer business, the expectation, the predictions, and the demands. All of that on the Ten Hag Talk Soccer podcast. Please do not forget to share, but most importantly, to rate this podcast, because that is how the algorithm knows that this is the best football podcast. So come on, do not gatekeep my podcast. All you gatekeepers, do not gatekeep my podcast. Thank you very much.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.